You are listening to A True Gospel Perspective from our pastor, the Pastor Charles D. Twyman. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
We invite your attention to a passage of scripture found in the book of Psalms. You would do well for your personal understanding to read all of the 55th portion of Psalms. Amen. Psalm 55, and for the sake of our text, we just want to lift three verses. Verses 12, 13, and 14. Psalms 55 and verse 12, and it reads, "For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company." The message is entitled Backstabbers. Backstabbers. Have you ever had someone that you called a friend betray your trust, break a promise to you, shared your secret with others, even conspired with someone to undermine you? That person could be labeled a backstabber. Have you ever had someone pretend to be your close friend, your bosom buddy, your sidekick, your thick and thin, your friend to the end, you know, your ride or die? Amen. Have you ever had someone like that only to move in on you and tell lies about you behind your back and start whispering campaigns? That person could be called a backstabber. Even a family member that you thought would always have your back in crucial times and moments when you really needed someone to stand up for you, only to discover they were really just a backstabber. Like the OJs say, someone that smiles in your face all the time trying to take your place. The backstabbers. Well, this is that type of psalm that David had written. For this is what you call an imprecatory prayer in the psalm. An imprecatory prayer is, and psalm is, where you're asking God to avenge you and do ill to your enemies. This is the type of mood and dilemma that King David was in. David had been a great king, but he had one flaw. He had a weakness for women. David, the giant killer, one who fled from Saul, but now had become the king of all of Israel. You know what the story says there in the 12th chapter of 2 Samuel, how David saw Bathsheba bathing on the rooftop. He looked and then he lusted. He longed and he lingered, amen. And then he invited her over to his place and he slept with her. She was Uriah's wife. And then, to cover up the fact that she was found with child, he called Uriah in from the battlefield. Now, Uriah was loyal to David, loyal to Israel. But David backstabbed him. Amen. They tried to blame the baby on him. You know they're still doing that today. Amen. I thought I'd bring that out. You know what they say. Mama's baby, daddy's maybe. You know, you don't know. But nothing is hid from God. And so God sent Nathan the prophet there to tell David, thou art the man. David is in somewhat of a dilemma now because the prophecy that Nathan had pronounced is coming to full fledge. He says in 2 Samuel 12, 10 and 11, he says, now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, David, because thou hast despised the Lord and taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife, even after he had married her. And you understand that the baby died. But he says in verse 11, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee in thine own house. And I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. Well, let me tell you something. Sin has consequences. And sometimes God does not send the consequences immediately. Sometimes God will wait a week. Sometimes he'll wait a month. Sometimes God will wait years and years before the consequences come. But when the consequences come, you should realize, yes, I sinned. And sometimes if you didn't repent of that sin, just look for more consequences to come. So now David has children by several wives, and his eldest son is Amnon. And he has another son by another wife named Absalom. And Absalom has a sister named Tamar. And Tamar is a very beautiful woman. And Amnon, the eldest son, had fallen in love with Tamar, his half-sister. And so he pretended he was sick and had the king had Tamar to come and feed him. And then he dismissed all the servants and he took advantage of her. Amen. He took away her virginity. And then after that, he hated her and put her out. And she went crying to her brother Absalom. And Absalom said, well, stay with me in my house for this thing that was done. Now, the king knew about it. The Bible said that King David was wroth, but he never did anything about it. Because evil will always raise up in thine house. So David knew this was part of the consequences. Now, because he had not done anything, Absalom was furious and began to get in great bitterness. And he waited 2 whole years before he took any action. Now, Absalom was smooth. I have to tell you that. He was a good-looking man. The Bible said he was one of the best-looking men in all of Jerusalem. They said from the top of his head to the soles of his feet, there couldn't be a blemish found in him. As a matter of fact, his hair was long and curly, and when he cut it, it weighed between 3 and 5 pounds. So in other words, you would say Absalom was fine as baby hair. That's some of y'all would say that. Good looking man. But now Tamar is staying there and Absalom has waited. He's waited 2 whole years. Then he goes to the king and said, I'm having a banquet at my house and I want you to let all my brothers attend my banquet and especially my eldest brother Amnon. And so David agreed, and they all go and have a party, go have a good time, go have a feast. But let me tell you what happened. In the midst of their feast, Absalom told his servant, kill Amnon. And they killed him dead. Now, when the news came back to King David, he thought he'd kill all of his sons, but they came riding in on their donkey, scared to death because of what had happened, because they felt that they might be next. Absalom then lost his mind. Now Absalom escapes. He goes to his mother's father's house. He goes and stays with them in another city. He stays there 3 years. But he loved Jerusalem. He loved his father. He wanted to come back home. And then Joab, the henchman for David, he tricked the king into saying, telling a woman to tell him to let him come home. And so he was to bring him home. And but when he came home, when the king allowed him to come home, king said, I don't want to see him. And for 2 years, he did not see King David. And then Absalom told Joab, I want to see the king. I want his blessing. I'm a prince. If he's the king, his son, all the sons are the prince. I'm a prince of Israel. I have a right to see my father. And so he sent for Joab, but Joab wouldn't come. He sent for Joab the second time. Joab wouldn't come. He told his servants, go over there to Joab's barley field and set it on fire. That'll get him. Amen. And sure enough, Joab showed up. What you mean by this? That's the King James Version. What meanest thou this, burning down my fire, my field? Well, I got your attention now. He said, I want to see my father. Go before him and tell him I've come home these 2 years and I've not seen him. And so the Bible says that Absalom came before King David and bowed very low, and David accepted him again as a prince of Israel. Now after that, things have changed because Absalom is still bitter. He still wants some type of revenge. Absalom has went out and got him some chariots and got 50 men to run in front of him going all through Jerusalem, and everybody saying, look at him, he's a prince of Israel. Good looking thing. The women loved him. As a matter of fact, he was smooth. And he won the hearts of all the people because he was charming. He would get up early in the morning, stand by the gates, and when people would come to the city, he would say, what do you want to see the king for? What is your matter? What's he said, oh, if I was king, I would tell you, I'd tell you going back home, I got this. I'd fix this up for you. If there was just a judge that could hear you and win your case for you, because you had a good case. He said, oh, if I was the king, I could do that. And they went to bow before him because he was the prince. He said, no, don't bow down. No, I'm just a man just like you. Absalom was smooth. Yes. And he won the hearts of all the people of Jerusalem. Now, you have to understand, in the back of David's mind, he knows what the prophet had prophesied to him about all of his wives being taken advantage of on the rooftop and all this, but he don't know when this hammer about to fall. And so Absalom, he goes to his father and said, I promised the Lord that I would go and pay my vows in another city, and the father let him go, but he had a plan to conspire to send spies out to all of the other nations of Israel and say, when you hear the trumpet blow, just say Absalom is king now because I'm taking over. So there was a conspiracy to take over. But one of the chief conspirators was a man by the name of Ahithophel. Ahithophel was David's principal counselor in God. Ahithophel had often counseled David in matters concerning the nation. But now Absalom has sent for Ahithophel, and he has become a chief conspirator to this insurrection, this uprising to take over the nation of Israel. And the news of Ahithophel's betrayal and defection seemed to upset David more than anything else, because as soon as David heard the news that Absalom is taking over, he got out of town. He took his family, he took his servants, he took his 600 mighty men and warriors with him, and they left. And many other people followed David, leaving the town, because he knew to stay there, it would be his certain death. But when he hears the news that Ahithophel has given counsel to Absalom, that's my buddy. That's my road dog. That's my ride or die. Anybody but Ahithophel. And so this psalm is written, and he says, after David had been put out of his own kingdom and he's running for his life, and the Bible said he went up the hill weeping and crying, and the people were weeping with him. He says right here in Psalm 55, he said, my heart is sore pain within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, all that I had winged like a dove, that I would fly away to be at rest. If I could just fly away from the mess I'm in. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever been so overwhelmed that you wish you could just fly away? Well, this is what this psalm is all about. David wanted to fly away and to be at rest because now his friend has deceived him. Amen. His own son has overtaken the kingdom. There has been this insurrection. Now, brothers and sisters, what we need to understand that David has another friend. And his name is Hushai. And when Hushai has come over to the side with David, and David said, no, you go back because I need someone to be an informer as to what's going on. Yes, sir. And go back and pretend like you want Absalom's side. And he knows we're real good friends. He knows we're tight. But you go on back, and I need somebody to refute the counsel of Ahithophel, because when people hear the counsel of Ahithophel, it's just like God talking. Yeah. He says, I want you to make foolish his counsel. He knocked on heaven gates and called upon the Lord and said, Lord, I want you to go with my friend and let him just refute the counsel of Ahithophel. Well, he's gone back. His friend has gone back. His so-called friend. So-called friend. You know, friendship is something. We're too quick to make somebody a friend. I watch my children and my grandchildren. They put a great price of friendship, a great value. I watch them sometime, and if you they when they call somebody their friend, they mean something. And if you really want to mess them up and upset them, I hear the little boy or the little girl say, I won't be your friend no more. That just breaks their heart. You won't be my friend. Now you tell somebody my age and we say, what? I didn't know you were my friend in the first place. But the children, they put a value on friendship. Yes. But as you grow older, I just need me some Jesus. Amen. Only time you're my friend is when I'm buying up everything. Amen. Amen. See, a false friend is like your shadow. As long as there's sunshine, it sticks around. But you step into the shade, you don't see that no more. Amen. So it's wise to value a friend who for you will find time on their calendar. But cherish and treasure the friend who does not have to consult their calendar to get you in there. You understand what I'm saying? If you really want to know who a friend is, get in trouble. Make a mistake. Mess up. And then look around. Here's what I mean. A friend is the first one who comes in when the whole world has gone out. That's a friend. That's somebody you want. A real friend can, if they're really a friend, they can get all up in the Kool-Aid because they know what flavor it is. And you don't even mind. You don't mind because their friend will tell you the truth about yourself. Here's what I'm talking about. Your good friend won't tell you you got bad breath. He'll just carry some Tic Tacs. And every now and then when you say something like, when you oh, push or something like that, he'll just hand you a Tic Tac. And if you run out of Tic Tac, he'll give you some chewing gum. Here, chew on this. They won't even tell you. They're not a friend. They won't tell you because that's your friend. See, they're not jealous of you. That's a real. You can handle criticism from a real friend. They tell you, your barber messed up. That haircut is not for you. You don't need to be wearing them braids in your head. Amen. You know, that's a real friend. That's a real friend. You can handle that from a real friend. This is what it says in Proverbs. Let me throw some word on this. It says, Proverbs 27, 4 through 6, wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? You don't want your friends envious of you. Listen to what it says in verse 5. Open rebuke is better than secret love. It's better to rebuke somebody than pretend like you love them. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Oh, yeah, brothers and sisters, there's some backstabbers around us. Amen. And they have a short memory. Backstabbers forget they got a back. They forget that they got a back just like you do. And you know what they say, what goes around comes around. Amen. Beware of those who you confide in. Tell all of your secrets to. Some people don't like you, but pretend like they do. And some people don't like you just because they don't like you. And you ask them, why don't you like her? I don't know. I just don't like her. I just don't like. They don't even have to have a reason not to like you. And then if you say, but I like them, they say, what's wrong with you? They want you to hate who they hate and love who they love. That ain't no friendship up in there. Let me be my own self. Love who I want to love. And like that farmer, he had some horses and he had a dog. And every time he let that dog out by the barn, it was just one particular horse. Every time the horse would eat, the dog would just bark at him like crazy. And the horse couldn't even eat the hay. And the farmer would have to go and get the dog to keep him from barking at the horse, stopping him from eating the hay. And the farmer couldn't figure it out because he said, now, the dog can't eat the hay. He just don't want the horse to have the hay. Now, you got some people around you don't even want what you got, but they don't want you to have nothing. Amen. They don't want who you got, but they don't want you to have them. Amen. They pretend like they love you. And if you don't believe me, you get a brand new car. Especially with a real nice car. Drive by their house. Say, come on, you my ride or die, that ride. They be talking about, this yours? How much you pay for it? What's the payments every month? Getting all up in the Kool-Aid, you understand? So you sure this yours? Jealousy, envy, strife. People are jealous of you and don't even know why they're jealous of you. See, they don't realize that everything you got, God gave it to you. And they're jealous of you without a cause because they don't know all the hard work and the blood and the sweat and the tears you had to get where you are. You don't know the time you had to lay on your face before God, begging God to do something for you. And they're jealous of you. See, I understood that before we got saved. And let me just throw this in here. There's an antidote for jealousy. Amen. You see, jealousy always has a target. It always has to shoot a target. You already got an arrow on your back. People can be jealous of you, and those who are green with envy will become red with anger, upset with you. Jealousy is like a spider which makes its home anywhere it wants to, on seemingly nothing. That's what jealousy does. But the antidote for jealousy is for you just to be thankful for everything God has given you, to be grateful. When you see somebody with something else or someone else that they have, you just thank God for what you got. It may not be a whole lot, but you see, this ain't our world anyway down here. God got something better than this for us on the other side, and you ain't got to the other side yet. But you need to learn how to be thankful on this side for what you do have. Amen. Don't be jealous of Jay-Z because of who he got. You better thank God for what you got in the pillow next to you at night. Amen. Amen. You don't know what kind of hell Jay-Z go through when he get home. Amen. Be thankful to God what you have while you have it. Because sometimes what you have, you may not have. Amen. You know what the whole Jay said? All you brothers, you fellas better beware. They may out to get your lady. A few of your buddies, they sure look shady. Blades are long, clutched tight in their fists, aiming straight at your back, and I don't think they'll miss. What they're doing? They're smiling in your face. All the time trying to take your place. The backstabbers. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we have not always been how we are now. Amen. But thank God for salvation. All of us at one time were low down, whether you want to realize it or not. Amen. Let me just say what Jesus has done, how he's changed your life. Titus, let me throw some Bible on this. Titus 3:3 said, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, and he saved us." Now here's the problem. I have found that most Christians still lie. And if you say you don't, you're lying right now. Amen. It's just that salvation ain't reached that part of your tongue yet to keep you from lying. Yeah, I know some lying Christians. Amen. I mean, they love Jesus, but they will lie. They will lie quick in a New York minute. You know, New York minute is real quick. So Galatians 5:14, it said, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." God has put a love within us that we can't backstab. Even though you might get backstabbed, you cannot turn around and backstab someone else. This is what it says in verse 15. "But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another." And the only difference between a backbiter and a backstabber is a backbiter left his knife at home. So he don't have a knife, he'll just bite you. Verse 16 said, "But this, as I say then," Paul said, "walk in the Spirit. You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." The flesh wants to do those things, but thanks be to God you've been brought this far by your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. James 3, and I'm going to get out of here in a minute. But James 3:14, "But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom," the wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. "For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But thank God for Jesus, who saved us from that, all that we have gone through." Well, if you read up to the 17th chapter of 2 Samuel, you will find out that there was a war because Absalom took the advice from Ahithophel. And Ahithophel said, "If you really want to show your disdain for the king, what you need to do is pitch a tent on the rooftop. And them 10 wives that David left to take care of the palace, go in unto them and have all of them in the sight of Israel," fulfilling again the prophecy of Nathan. And Absalom does that. And then he said, "Now what shall I do?" And he's seeking the counsel of this once friend of David. Now listen, David said this, he loved this man. Listen what it says. It said, "If my enemy had reproached me, I could have dealt with that. I could have borne it. Neither was he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. I could have hid myself from him. But it was you, my equal, my guide. I made you equal with me. I'm the king, but you're my counselor. And I made you equal with me, my friend, my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company." We were tight, but you deceived me. Amen. But now understand something, because if you really want to know the character of Ahithophel, it tells us here in verse 20, "He had put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him and have broken his covenant." So he had a covenant with David that he broke. His friendship was broken. He said the words of his mouth were smoother than butter. Yeah, you know some folk like that. Amen. He said, "But war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords," because he had a plan too. Now, we don't know if he was jealous of David or what, But he sure conspired against the king. But David had prayed, and God had refuted the counsel of Ahithophel. Because now Absalom has said, now what should I do about David? Should I go out and get him now while he's still running from us? And Ahithophel said, you need to go right now. Go get him. Get him. Go get him. Go get him. Go get him now. Take the armor that you have here in Israel and go after him and get him. But see, Absalom said, and this is God working in this mix. God had Absalom to ask Hoshea. He said, what do you think I should do? You're a good friend of my dad, and you've come over to my side. He said, well, Ahithophel's counsel is not good, because you have to understand, David is a mighty warrior. He understands guerrilla warfare. You go after him, and you might have all your men killed, because he got some mighty men with him. These ain't no guys that just got out of basic training. These guys know how to fight. He said, what you need to do is wait until you get all of the army together and then go after David. Now, this is God giving David time enough to get himself together. Amen. And so what happens is he waits. They get the whole army. Absalom in his vanity leads the army. And this is to his undoing. That long hair he had, he was riding on a mule. And that hair got caught in the branches of the trees. But the donkey kept on running. And there he was, right there, hanging by his hair. Now David had told Joab, go lightly on my son. But Joab wasn't caring nothing about him. And Joab had all of his servants. They stabbed and they killed Absalom. And now, what happened to Ahithophel? When Ahithophel found out that Absalom did not take his counsel, he was brokenhearted because, as the Bible says, the people looked at his counsel like being the oracles of God. He felt dejected. Went home, got his house in order, and hung himself and committed suicide. Well, when I was reading this, I thought what a close affinity that was to what happened to Christ. You see, Jesus was the victim of backstabbing. But Jesus said, they will hate you because they first hated me. But here was one who was numbered with his disciple by the name of Judas Iscariot. And for 3.5 years, Judas Iscariot was with the Lord. The Lord had called his disciples, 12 in all, but one of them had a devil. 3.5 years, Judas walked with Jesus and was numbered with this elite group. He saw everything that Jesus did. He heard him preach the word. He heard his purpose and his doctrine. He heard all of this. He saw the miracles that Jesus performed. He watched him as he walked on the water. He saw him heal the blind. He was at the graveyard when he saw the dead come back to life, when Lazarus stepped out the grave after being dead 4 days. He was there when they fed 5,000 with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. He was right there with the Lord. But for 30 pieces of silver, that's all, 30 pieces of silver, he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ, stabbed Jesus in the back. But what he didn't know was what he worked for evil, God meant for good, because Jesus knew he came out here to die for us. So while he thought he was getting away with something, what he was doing me a favor. Because if Jesus hadn't died, I'd be still lost in my sin. But Jesus died upon that cross. He died on that cross. And you know what happened to Judas Iscariot? He did the same thing Ahithophel did. He went and hung himself and died. But Jesus died with a purpose and died on purpose because he died for my sin. Oh, yeah, they took my Jesus and nailed his hands to a cross, nailed his feet to a cross, put a crown of thorns upon his head, suffered, bled, and died upon that cross. They took him down, put him in a borrowed tomb. He stayed there Friday and Saturday, but you know what the record said? Jesus got up from the grave with all power of heaven and earth in his hand. Backstabbers, dirty, low-down backstabbers. They're everywhere. Watch them. Watch them. The reason you didn't get that promotion on your job is because of backstabbers. Backstabbers are everywhere. Be careful. Put your trust in Jesus. Stand to your feet. The door to the church is open.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we hope that it was a blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.